Just two on one side and two on the other side.
Good evening, and thank you for coming. I'm Jennifer Blackburn, External Affairs Director for both National Sorghum Producers and the United Sorghum Checkoff Program. Beside me, I have Tim Lust to my far left, T-I-M-L-U-S-T. He's CEO of both National Sorghum Producers and the Sorghum Checkoff. To my right is Florentino Lopez, F-L-O-R-E-N-T-I-N-O-L-O-P-E-Z. He's the executive director of the Sorghum Checkoff. Justin Weinheimer is director of crop improvement. It's J-U-S-T-I-N-W-E-I-N-H-E-I-M-E-R. And then to my far right is Mike Henson. He's a producer from Ropesville, Texas. That's M-I-K-E-H-E-N-S-O-N. First, I would like to share some of our exciting announcements, and then we'll be available to answer your questions. China's demand for U.S. sorghum is soaring, with 293 million bushels committed, surpassing last year's total by 29%. The export market represented 52% of the total sorghum market share in 2014 and was dominated by China. Last year alone, China represented 90% of the total exports market with 168 million bushels, and demand from China has only increased during the 2014-2015 marketing year, and projections from USDA and WASD indicate exports will only continue to increase throughout 2015. This is great news for our producers because an increase in demand from the export market helps increase price and producer profitability. The demand for sorghum is at an all-time high, leading to a needed increase in acres. Demand from the export market is positive and continues to grow. Likewise, demand from domestic markets also remains steadfast. The rising popularity of sorghum in the food industry continuously opens doors for producers across the sorghum belt and across the nation. The ethanol industry also remains a value-added market for grain sorghum. Productivity increased 10% from last year, but to meet the growing demand, increased acres will be necessary this growing season. This is the year farmers should quit thinking about growing sorghum and actually start planting it. Mike Henson is a sorghum farmer from Ropesville, Texas. He produced a 246 bushel per acre grain sorghum crop this last year. Henson's high yield is a strive toward achieving the National Sorghum Producers' yield goal of 250 bushels per acre in the Sorghum Yield Contest, sponsored by the Sorghum Checkoff. We are very proud of Mike's achievement and encourage farmers to go for 250. Finally, we are happy to share that tools are available to combat the sugarcane aphid this growing season. Sugarcane aphids affected a large part of the southern growing region last year. Eight states received a Section 18 for the use of Transform in grain sorghum to help combat the sugarcane aphid. Tolerant hybrids and germplasm and newly approved pesticide applications have been identified, and National Sorghum Producers and the Sorghum Checkoff will continue working on positive solutions and educating growers on proper management to ensure this pest does not cause reduced profit long term. That concludes our announcements. You can see Kelly Fulkerson and Faith Jurek, our communications directors, in the back later for a handout with all the announcements and contact information. If you have any questions, these gentlemen would be happy to answer those at this time. Thank you.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask you guys about the, I know there's a lot of trade talks going on right now, and you guys are mentioning that exports are really important to your business, so I was just wondering if you could speak on the importance of TPA, what you guys are doing with that, as well as the importance of TPP as well.
Certainly, and from a TPA standpoint, obviously National Association of Sorghum Producers is very supportive. We are been a part of a number of coalitions strongly supporting this. When you move to TPP, all indications on the front end are very positive, certainly not only for grain sorghum as a grain, but also for our friends in the meat sector. As always, in any agreement, the devil is in the detail, so we always reserve the right to see the final product and see where that is. But as a general principle, we are very supportive of both. Tony?
China obviously has been a big story for you, a huge success story in the last year. So two questions for you. First is, how long will that market be there? And the second question, if it's going to remain, how many acres do you need nationwide to meet the demand?
Definitely, Tony. As you look at the overall, just China, for instance, the marketplace right now is extremely strong. So the marketplace continues to call for sorghum or coarse grains overall. So if we look at that, generally speaking, the Chinese Department of Ag currently is indicating that they need roughly about 10 million metric tons of grain available to their end consumers. So as we look at that overall, one of the things that we find is that roughly or a portion of that should be coming from sorghum and is coming from sorghum today. That number, as Jennifer pointed out, is roughly 292 million bushels this year. That 292 million bushels is a large representation of our crop. Because of that large draw, we also recognize that the other marketplaces that were in the past really being satisfied with sorghum are not being fulfilled. So we are losing somewhat of the demand that had been created in the past, whether that was in the ethanol industry that in the past supported a roughly about 140 million bushels, or even into the domestic ethanol production area that could have represented 100 to 120 million bushels as well. So one of the things that we see is the demand today far exceeds the supply. So we continue to believe that the supply needs to come up and match that demand. Of course, that's going to take a number of years. It could take a number of growing seasons before we get to that. We still feel, from a checkoff standpoint, we still feel very confident that our goal is to continue to create those opportunities. You also alluded to how long would that last. That, of course, has been 24 months. Currently, 24 consecutive months that China has been buying sorghum today. We also feel that that would continue. One of the reasons that we feel that that would continue, of course, there is a TRQ that's in place for corn. That TRQ is set at 2.88 million tons. As we pointed out earlier, basically they're in the need of about 10 to 11 million metric tons. Of course, it leaves a shortfall of about 8 million metric tons that would need to be in other grains. Those end users today, whether they're livestock producers and or others, are finding that sorghum fits very well into their rations and feel that it is a good source of nutrients for their livestock. So we feel that could continue. But, of course, that is also a policy situation that would be very dependent on what China does in the future. It's very interesting. The food arena has been growing consistently. As you look at the food arena, one of the things that's interesting is a number of years ago, there was a lot of individuals that really wouldn't have known what, one, what sorghum was, and two, what type of products sorghum was going into. Today, it's really quite obvious that a number of products are continuing to develop, whether that is cereal products ranging from Special K, ranging over to grain-berry cereal, and or a lot of bread products or pastry items. There's a number of products that are currently out there, and it continues to grow. We see that one of the things that has happened, of course, our communication staff from the checkoff has continued to work very closely in trying to spread the message of awareness that sorghum fits into the food industry quite heavily. We see that that continues to grow on a daily basis. We recognize that not only from a gluten-free standpoint, but we also see it from an ancient grain. We also see it that it can be very easily used as a whole grain. It offers many attributes that are continuing to be found. And so that's one of the interesting parts that sorghum brings into the kitchen, for example. It brings a variety of attributes that are now being discovered. And so you have many people working with those. We have an Iron Chef that has worked with us quite heavily. That Iron Chef has developed several different recipes, of course, has promoted those recipes in his restaurant in New York. And so we continue to see work like that helping producers to reap more of the benefits of sorghum and really seeing it more from a consumer standpoint.
Thing I would add to that is several years ago in my career, we were focused on research and development. Clearly on the food side today, it's all about commercialization. So it is about making sure we have the supply chain, the contract seed production, the grain being milled by the milling companies and moving to the significant food companies in volume. And those products are just exploding, and the sales growth on those products is very, very strong. So it's a rapid growth segment for our industry now. You know, we used to talk about it in a couple of counties in southwest Kansas, and, you know, now we have contract production literally popping up for this year all over the United States. We have product launches of major corporations that are being put off to 2016. Because we're a little slow on supply to get those products launched in 2015, and we've got to make sure we get enough product grown, and those are good problems to have. So we just continue to see rapid growth, major food companies as well as a lot of niche food companies around the United States and around the world. So a very exciting time right now on the food side.
Yes, I am going to plant more sorghum this year. That would be very obvious. Number one, I'm a longtime cotton farmer, but also my granddad was a milo farmer and a cotton farmer in West Texas. And number one thing is he taught me to take care of the land, and the land will take care of me. And so that's a part of the rotational that I use with the milo, not to mention water conservation. Is the reason that I do that, so that I can put the water from the milo when I finish that crop over to my cotton and grow the same amount of pounds that I do on 75 to 50% of the acres. Yes, I will increase my milo probably by 35, 40% on my farm. We put 3 tons of manure, composted manure, down on this field that we did. And then I ran another 300 pounds of 28005 liquid fertilizer, and then water, and then harvested it. That was pretty much what it was, and God blessed me with a lot of good rain, and that helped too.
Well, I think markets obviously are the key to that. And, you know, one of the things that we haven't talked a lot about yet, but I've been a marketing director before I was CEO, and, you know, we saw some opportunities over the years where sorghum prices were very strong for old crop, kind of after the fact. But very rarely have we seen that market signal saying we need more acres and we need more grain next year. And those market signals are clearly there right now, whether it be, you know, at the Gulf where sorghum prices are, you know, $1 a bushel over the competition, or central Kansas where they maybe are 30 or 40 cents over. We have very strong basis for new crop sorghum that is clearly sending the message to growers that from a profitability standpoint, the market is asking for that and doing that. Very positive thing that helps with too is certainly from a grower standpoint, to maximize profitability, you need to be able to put those extra inputs in, whether that's a little more fertilizer, whether that's a fungicide treatment, extra seed treatment. And so when that market price is there and that opportunity presents itself from a demand pull standpoint, it really helps the growers be able to really go for those top yields and really produce.
I might add additionally, one of the things definitely from a checkoff standpoint or from the organizational standpoint, of course, the producers are looking at two different levels. We, of course, feel that demand enhancements are critical, but we also feel that productivity enhancements are critical in gaining that. There's a lot of research that's taking place to continue to develop not only yields, but looking at predominantly at how sorghum could better be suited for producers. So a lot of that research is taking place at a variety of different institutions, looking at a variety of different companies, again, trying to enhance productivity as much as possible to get to a point where that producer can become more profitable. We do definitely believe as the producer becomes more profitable, it definitely offers them that opportunity of looking at sorghum, not necessarily as just a potential crop that he might grow, but really having it in a staple and using it on a consistent basis.
Any other questions? Okay. If you think of something else, our guys will be in the back, and I'm happy to answer any of those questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you.